You are inside Mac.
Welcome, everybody. We're here at Macworld. This is the Inside Mac radio program coming to you from the Moscone Center. So did everybody enjoy the keynote today, all the new stuff from Apple? Cool. Right now, I want to bring on our first guest, Paul Kent. Paul is the Vice President of IDG World Expo, and he's in charge of Macworld. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good, Scott. How's it going?
Good. So we're here at the show. What do we have to look forward to? What do you guys have planned for all the attendees to do here at Macworld?
So first, let me tell you a little bit about what's here right now. So Macworld, we have over 350 vendor booths here, the largest number we've had in about 8 years. We have over 35,000 attendees. Well, actual perfect number we'll give out in about 2 months, but early estimates well north of 30,000 attendees. We have over 4,000 people taking educational classes from us. So this really, it's always been the mecca of everything Mac, but I think this show, more than any in recent memory, has got the buzz, has got the excitement, has got the products, has got the vendors, has got the attendees. I think we really have something special here again.
It's pretty busy right now. This place is packed.
I think it's hopping. And certainly those announcements that came out this morning out of Steve's keynote are something to be real excited about. It gives us all stuff to think about and buy and learn about over the next year. So, you know, from Macworld's point of view, new stuff, platform migrations, new cool new software, that's all great because we get to put on a show that shows people how to use all this stuff.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, with the new machines that run Intel processors, you can dual boot into Windows. So now we can draw all these people in from the heathen side into the Mac deal.
Wouldn't that be great? We could have holy wars in the North Hall.
Exactly. Just block it off and just go on at your own risk. So tell us some of the other feature presentations that are going on here. There's some other stuff. There's a bunch of stages across the show floor. What are the kind of things that you can do here besides just walk around and check out all the cool new goods?
So we have so much going on, and so I'm going to give you some of the highlights. So we've got our Dream Studios that are down the hall here. The Dream Studios, we're demonstrating for musicians three levels of recording studios that you guys can build yourself. The home hobbyist market, kind of a mid-level market for semi-professionals, and then very, very high-end for professional audio engineers. So the Dream Studios are some presentations. We have our creative professional stage where you can learn tips and tricks for using some of the greatest creative tools in the industry. We have our Taste of the Conference where we're running conference sessions. It's the same stuff that we would run in our paid conferences, but not quite as much of everything. They're 45-minute sessions, but they're open to everybody, and that's over in room 134 and 135 from 1:30 each day. You can get tips from Lisa Snyder on usage of graphic tools. You can learn how to use GarageBand. If you're a switcher, we have classes that are for people who are brand new. Andrew Shallett, your friend.
Doing his class right now.
Absolutely.
Brand new book, Mac Design Out of the Box.
Yeah, and he's a fabulous instructor, and so we're very lucky to have him. So if you have a chance, check out the Taste of the Conference sessions for the people here in the audience. We've got tomorrow, David Pogue Live, Macworld Live with David Pogue. So David's got some fantastic guests, and you know David is just one of a kind in the Mac industry. He'll be playing some of his unique parody songs for us. He's got guests from around the Mac industry and talking about what's cool, what's new, what's interesting, and what's fun in the Mac industry. We've got our Mac Brainiac Challenge on Thursday, our very own game show, where we have experts in the Mac industry competing in a trivia challenge. What else? We have George Lucas and the Digital Revolution, a presentation by filmmaker Michael Rubin, who just wrote a book on George Lucas and the origins of digital video and how he imagined in the early 70s what Star Wars would be like and what it would be like to make a movie like that. So the origin of digital effects and digital filmmaking. So all this stuff is going on.
Definitely. I think the deal with the Lucas thing is going to be swamped. This
it's
whole digital
be,
video
yeah,
deal is
yeah,
huge.
It's really, really fun. And Michael Rubin is just a tremendous presenter, very passionate. And he understands filmmaking, he understands entertainment, he understands, he's just a futurist. He's just a brilliant man.
Paul, real quick, you have a couple of your conferences that were two-day type gigs, and a bunch of these sold out. Which ones is the most popular learning thing that you can see here for your conferences at Macworld? What's the most important thing that you've sold out of that people are really, really interested in?
We hold 15 of these two-day power tools, and 9 of them have sold out entirely. And, you know, these are up to 250 attendees. So we've sold out on a course on Aperture. We've sold out on a course on Final Cut Pro Extreme. We've sold out on a course on AppleScript with Sal Segoyan. We've sold out on a course on Mac OS X Admin. I mean, if you really want to get hardcore geek, this is a course on server administration, but 250 people are here at Macworld taking that course. So we've sold out 9 of the 15 courses. And, you know, education is just very hot. We have a world-class faculty who, they deliver the goods, and people walk out of our classes better trained and better able to enjoy their Macintosh.
That just shows why you're the king of conferences.
That's right. I am the
king.
That's
it. See, all your stuff sold out. Hey, Paul, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Scott. Thanks for having me.
That was Paul Kent, the king of Macworld. So next up here, we have literally the king of Photoshop. We have
the king of Macworld, now I'm the king of Photoshop.
You are the king of Photoshop, okay, though. We have Dr. Russell Preston Brown from Adobe. How are you doing, Russell?
I'm doing just great. I have been asked, am I a real doctor? Only on my podcast. No. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here. My podcast. Go ahead, ask me about my podcast, Scott.
Russell, tell us about your podcast.
Oh, gee, thanks. So, inspired by Scott, I created one of my own, realized how much of work it was, russellbrown.com. Well, that's my website. You can link from that, but you can also do a search for Russell Brown on iTunes in their store, which is a great way. I just posted a new tip and technique today. I did it over the weekend.
You did?
On colorizing line drawings. Now, I don't know how many people would colorize a line drawing? Okay, there it is. Okay, they're over there. Okay, because you're the only person who raised their hand. You win a shirt. You win the shirt.
Ding, 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 ding.
Why, gee, Scott, look what's on this shirt.
Oh, my, it's Lightroom.
What's Lightroom, Russ?
Russell, tell us, what's Lightroom?
I wish my boss were here to tell us. I'm not legally qualified to tell you about Lightroom, but I'm going to give it a try. Imagine you're a photographer, and you have images, and you want to import the images easily, organize them, select them, correct them, and then print them. And you've got these simple, easy-to-use interface and the most amazing contact sheet, killer contact sheet, Lightroom, just announced today. And, of course, I created a podcast for it.
You did, didn't you?
Yes. You can search for Lightroom in the podcast section of iTunes and see a great video on that.
So now is this podcast for Lightroom, is this part of the Dr. Brown Show, or is it
separate? No, I just helped produce it because I knew all your secrets about how big to make the movies and how all the behind the scenes. So I helped produce it, but it's put out by George Jardine, and he's going to put out several movies. Also on Photoshop User Magazine, Scott Kelby has a wonderful podcast dedicated to Lightroom. It's out there right now. And of course, you can download Lightroom now. Immediately. You can have it.
Now, Russell, how does Lightroom tie in with the Adobe Suite? Is it a separate app? Is it an extension? Is it sort of like the bridge? How does this work?
Oh, no. Now we're getting serious. Gee, Scott, I'm not officially qualified to tell you these things, but I will. Because people are going to listen to this and actually think I know what I'm talking about. The truth about Lightroom, the best place to find it is on the Adobe site and all of the information there, but totally integrated with Photoshop. You work with it. You process them. It just has some great new features if you are a serious photographer and want to process, correct, print through this one application. And then I want to go beyond that and I want to put in a double layer, multiplied layer with a layer mask, then you connect over to Photoshop. And of course, Lightroom will work with RAW images, TIFF images, JPEG images, any image you want to work with. Lightroom, great application.
Good stuff there.
Did I say I had a webcast of my own, russellbrown.com?
He does. What else are you doing here at Macworld? Are you doing any more talks? You got stuff going on in the Adobe booth? I know you're the king of swag, too.
The king. Yes, the pen. Of course, the classic pen. I'm surprised no one else does this. If you come to one of my live shows, you can get my swag, the pen with all of my tips and techniques contained within. But we're not on your TV show, so we can't see that. But I also give away the Russell Brown Show as a CD. And for those sitting in the audience here today, they can have that. So T-shirts, pens, CDs. Look, this person just stepped up behind me.
Whoa, he won. Ding, ding, ding.
He wants that CD.
More cool stuff.
He doesn't know what he's getting. Half the people in the booth don't. They just see something and they take it.
Yes.
But the final thing is my show on with Paul Kent I'm the keynote speaker on this Friday's graphics portion of Paul's presentations here. Show up for that. It's open to everyone. I think if you walk in with something that looks like an exhibitor badge or a hall badge, I think anybody can get into my session on Friday, room 134.
Wow, okay. Cool stuff. Where else can we find Russell? If they didn't catch you here at Macworld, where's the next gig you're going to be at?
The next gig...
Are you going to be at the Momentum and Print Conference?
Oh, my gosh. Scott, what a wonderful segue. I totally forgot about my own conference.
Yes. Your own conference.
It's called ADIM, A-D-I-M, the Art Director's Macintosh Invitational Workshop. All Mac. You come into a room of other graphic designers. You have about 100 designers in the room. And you essentially play for 3 days using all of Adobe's applications, and we will come out of it with actual product. This year's theme is the Westerns, Western attire, cowboy hats, and we'll be laser burning wood from Photoshop. Okay, so you put the Photoshop file into a laser printer that actually burns wood onto, and you'll engrave things. Engrave your Pi Pods, engrave your computer, and engrave wood. And that's the ADIM conference, and you can always find out about it by going to russellbrown.com. That's two L's in Russell.
Yes. Hey, Russell.
That's what we had to punch. That was the kicker. ADIM conference.
ADIM, well, yes, ADIM, soon. ADIM. Are you going to be at Photoshop World in Miami?
I unfortunately will not be at the Photoshop World in Miami. I had a previous engagement with my children and wife. They came first. I will be at the Photoshop World in Las Vegas on the following one. I believe it's in September.
Yes, we love Las Vegas.
Oh, gosh. Scott had over 3,000 people at that one the last time. It was his largest, biggest event ever in Las Vegas. Crazy. Were you there?
Yes, of course.
Gosh. Okay. That was a wild, wild, wild adventure. I don't know if he'll have me on stage. I think he's got to get Ben Wilmore up on stage to make a fool of himself this year instead of me boxing in boxing shorts. You saw that.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Absolute insanity. So,
Russell Brown, the world heavyweight Photoshop champion.
Photoshop World is the place to go. You want your brain overload on Photoshop. That's the place. That's the place.
Yeah. Hey, Russell, thanks for joining us
today. Thank you. Scott, who's
next? Your stuff's great. We got more stuff later, so we're going to have some more
stuff. Scott's going to give these away, and I'll pass them.
You can pass those out. Great. Let's bring up the team of Inside Mac. Ken Ray, the fabulous Ken Ray, the host of the Inside Mac Daily News program. We have the lovely Laura Burstein and Brad Wright.
I bring my own mic. That's how I roll.
That is cool. This is Laura Burstein. Laura, what did you think of the announcements today from Steve Jobs?
I'll use this one in the meantime. You know, it's funny. Ken and I have this little game every time there's going to be a new announcement. And we kind of sit down and we say, okay, what do you think it's going to be? And I said, well, I think... Well, we both looked at each other a couple months ago and said, you know that announcement they made at the WWDC where they said Macs are going to have Intel processors in them and they're going to be ready a year from now? Ken and I looked at each other and said, you know, Apple likes to be full of surprises, so we think just maybe, if this is something they've been working on for a while, they'll have them ready early by Macworld. And I said, well, I don't think they'll do laptops just yet because that's more of their high-end thing, but maybe they'll do an iMac. And last week, Ken said, no, they're going to do laptops. I said, no, I think it's going to be desktops. So the good news is we were both right today. But I think it's nice to see. I think the people who just bought the new iMac might be a little bit disappointed. You know, I think those announcements are pretty close together. I know for me, with my G4 PowerBook that I spent $3,000 on a year ago, I'm a little bummed. But, you know, that's the way it goes. That's the name of the game. It's always going to be bigger and better. And I don't know. I'm happy for everybody. I think it's nice that the prices have come down for all those people who don't already own laptops.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good thing. The thing that I'm wondering about is compatibility. But I think there might be a few growing pains. I mean, I know this is something they've been working and testing for a while, but I personally would shy away from being the guinea pig who buys the very first, you know, gen of a product. So let's watch everybody else go out and buy them and see what happens. Maybe we can wait for some of the kinks to be worked out. What about you, Ken?
I think it's great. That's all I got. That's it.
I think it's pretty exciting. It sort of seemed like it kind of seemed like it had to.
They're not even listening. I'll just talk to you guys. Hi, how are you? Where are you from? Where? Campbell. So right here. I want to talk to somebody from someplace else. Where are you from? People really annoy me.
So it's kind of cool.
Where? Yeah, representing. Nicely done. Massachusetts, what part? Where? Boylston. Okay.
All right, we all have mics now. Wow, that was loud.
Fun's over.
So we can argue back and forth on microphone.
Actually, we were just talking about Boston
while you guys were away.
The thing that I found kind of interesting was, I think it was back in October, Bruce Chizen started saying, it's going to take a really long time it's taking much longer than we thought to port this stuff. And at that point, he had 8 months. Except, of course, he didn't have 8 months, he had two. So that was kind of exciting. I think it's pretty cool. I'm not so bummed that I don't have the newest thing, because what I have right now does what I want it to do. So I'm okay with that.
I don't know. When you saw that was going to run Pro Tools pretty quickly, it's kind of salivating.
Yeah, there are a couple things that it's going to do that I like, but in the meantime, I'm okay.
You know, that's the problem with you on this side of the microphone, is Ken's usually our engineer.
Yeah, could be it.
Come over here and run the board, will you?
No, I'm okay. So what else, Scott?
I don't know. What do you think about iLife 06?
I haven't had a chance to play with it or look at it much yet, so I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about it yet, sir.
Me neither, so there you
go. Okay, excellent.
Here's one thing I thought was interesting, and I don't know if you guys talked about it yet or not, but the whole photo casting thing. For me, I'm a little amused because I've been a moblogger for almost 3 years using Text America. Oh, yeah, someone's pointing to my hand. I sent a moblog picture the night I cut my hand open with a chef's knife, and I must have been in shock, and the scar is still there. But I think it's interesting. It's funny because I think when a big company like Apple starts to integrate some of the technology that people have been using on a grassroots level for a long time, it's good and bad. I mean, I think it validates the technology. It really brings it into the mainstream. But at the same time, I don't know, it's kind of interesting to see people put their own brand on it. The moblog site that I use is called Text America. It's been around for 3 years. It's a little bit different. You can subscribe to RSS, but it basically posts pictures straight to a website instead of, you know, like the personal podcasting thing. But I don't know, Ken. I mean, I think it just makes sense that if that's happening with audio, that the whole multimedia thing is going to follow
right
with pictures.
I mean, first of all, you can't blame them for doing it because it's a cool thing. You've been doing it for 3 years. And that's cool. And now everybody else is going to find out about it tomorrow or the day after.
Well, and the same thing's happening
with
podcasting.
Exactly.
I mean, the people who've been doing podcasting for a year are like the old timers. Oh, man, I was doing that back in, well, now it's 2006.
September of
2004. But wait, I was doing that back in 2004. Wow. Yeah. Can I have your autograph?
That is pretty, I mean, but at the same time, it does create, so much has been created in just the past 6 months or 7 months since they put podcasting in iTunes. I mean, just an insane amount.
Well, the one thing we talk about, too, with the availability of all these technologies for people to be self-publishers is the amount of noise that's going to be on. I mean, I think it's great that everybody can do it, but at the same time, there's going to be so much more to wade through now that everybody's got a blog and everybody's got a podcast and everyone's got a photocast.
Yes and no. I mean, it's not like you're sitting down to watch TV and there are 15,000 channels that you have to go through. I mean, because everything can be tagged, everything can be titled, and you can search for it.
True.
By your specific interest. I mean, you're right. There is a lot of noise out there. At the same time, I can go straight for the things that I'm interested in, which is going to take it down exponentially, and then I can wade through that and figure out what's noise and what's good.
And the other argument, too, is the cream rises to the top. I mean, this is an opportunity for people to showcase their stuff, and if you have something to share and if you have something to say and people like it, you're going to gain popularity, whereas, you know, I don't know.
What does it mean that both the cream rises to the top and bodies float?
Yeah, there you
that
go.
Bodies are cream?
I don't know. It's sort of an odd thing. It just occurred to me. I mean, it's not the only thing that floats. Wood. A duck.
I was going to say, if she weighs the same as wood.
Exactly.
She's a witch.
Yes, that's right.
I'll take things that float for 100. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let's ask Brad. This is Brad Wright, our QuickTime DV guru. What's your thoughts, Brad, of the new PowerBook and the new stuff that Apple announced today?
Well, I think it's great for the consumers. I think it's good for the pro apps and all of that stuff. You got to have to probably wait a while.
till everything goes native and everything's worked out. I think if you're like a, you have a production system, you definitely want to hold your horses and just wait.
Stuff
is working now. You just leave it alone and don't worry about what's coming out, because just hang tight with it, because you don't want to take a system that makes you money and bring it down. So it's kind of like, so if you bought that, you know, Macintosh last week, and now suddenly you're seeing the Intels out there and you're a pro, you might want to just sit there and hang out for a little while and not just say, yeah, I'm going to go get it, because you already got basically a system that works and it's making you money. Don't mess with it. But if you're a consumer and you just want to try something new, I think it's a great opportunity. They're awesome systems, and they're just going to be, they're going to be fantastic. And when they all go native, it's going to rock. It's going to be an awesome system.
Here's a question I have. Do you think they knew when they announced it in June that they were going to have something in January?
Oh, yeah.
I would think so, with their, you know, the development cycle and all that molds that had to be made for plastic parts and magnesium castings for the inside.
Sure.
I'm sure the development time is probably longer than 6 months, so I'm sure you're right. They knew when Steve was at WWDC that they were going to rock this new power book at Macro.
Right.
So
just checking.
Good question.
Thanks, man.
That is good. Mm-hmm. You rock.
Thank you.
You rock.
Very
you're
much.
The man.
So, have you, Laura, had a chance to walk around on the floor, check out any of the things that's cool yet? I mean, we can go on to this later in the week, but have you seen anything that just grabbed you and said, wow, this is great?
No, I had a little trouble at the press registration, actually. So I kind of got hung up there.
Yeah, we've had a few problems. With,
well, no, I'm not complaining.
We'll
I'm just saying,
we'll complain
I'm saying
later.
The time that I was going to spend.
So they don't throw us out today. They can throw us out Friday.
Nice. Come back for the rant session on Friday.
Yeah. Right now, we want to bring on Nick Runyon. Nick is from printingforless.com and CreativePro. We want to talk about what these guys are up to and what Inside Mac's doing with these guys. So let's bring on Nick here. How you doing, Nick?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. So tell us, what is Printing for Less? Let's start off with your guys' first company.
Sure. Printingforless.com is the first online commercial printing e-commerce website. So we went online in 1999, March 4th, 1999, as printingforless.com, and our big deal is we want to take the pain out of commercial printing. Our whole thing is to be easy to do business with, and that's really what we strive to do in every area.
So basically now, the stuff you guys do, let's explain the online printer. You make a file up as a PDF. As maybe, what kind of files do you accept, and we'll go through the whole process on how you guys work.
Any type of file.
Anything. So you can send a Word doc in, you can send in a PDF, a Photoshop file, an Illustrator, doesn't matter.
It does not matter, Mac, PC, whatever. Actually, you know, publisher, let's see, it was about 1998, right before we went online, a guy from Billings, Montana came into the shop. He said, I've been all over the state, you guys have to help me, you're the last printing company that I've been to. He's like, I have a publisher file, I want to print my catalog, I can't hire a designer, I can't do all this stuff, I just want to do it myself and make it work. And it took about 6 days, but we figured out how to do it, and we were the first ones to be able to print commercially from publisher, and since then we figured out how to print basically from everything.
So your guys' process, you upload a file.
Yeah.
Now, is stuff that people, when they have stuff done on Printing for Less, is it electronic printer, or do you guys actually make a plate so it's like computer to plate and it's printed on a regular printer, like a big offset deal with big steel drums?
Yeah, we're an all Heidelberg shop. Pre-press is completely computer to plate. I'm in marketing now, but all last year I managed our production facility in Livingston, and it was really interesting. There's a lot of cool stuff there, and I started with Printing for Less by working on the technical services team. So every customer is assigned to one of our three-person teams, and you call one line and you work with that person all the time. And so you talked about uploading a file. You can price your job online, upload files to us, and then our technical services reps are in constant communication with you. They help you through all your problems, if there are any, and you approve the proof online, and we're real strict about quality and color management. But from there, it goes straight to plate, right onto the press.
And then from there, it's traditional printing with plates and big drum rolls and ink and all that kind of stuff. It's not a digital process where you guys print stuff on like DocuColor, big copy machines, or iGen stuff.
Nope.
It's all real.
Yeah,
regular printing.
It's all real commercial offset lithography, if you want to get particular
wow.
about it.
That's cool stuff there. So now let's talk about that's also part of the same company is you guys run creativepro.com. I don't know if anybody's familiar with it. Tell us what creativepro.com is.
Well, creativepro.com is something that I'm really excited about. And recently, I mean, me personally, I've moved into the marketing department recently and got to work a lot closer with Terry Stone and Cindy, our webmaster, and Jeff, who is our advertising guy. But that group of three people run the website creativepro.com, and it's a resource for creative professionals. So we have all sorts of articles from time to time. We do a daily newsletter. We do a weekly creative newsletter. We have different freelance writers that write for us, from everything about the creative business, how to make your design business successful, to how to do color management, professional photography, video on demand, that type of thing.
Now, also, people that are members of Creative Pro can actually have like their own little section on the side and what they do, and you guys have a whole little like a forum, like a community area too, yeah?
Yeah. It's a real close-knit group, and it's great. Share a lot of information that way.
And you cover all things creative. You guys get into video and photography and all kinds of stuff, or is it mainly just designers that are doing like Photoshop, Illustrator, that kind of work?
No, it's everything. Obviously, designers, you know, graphic designers, that's the most obvious fit with creative professionals, but we get a lot of traffic from professional photographers and people like that. And so it covers the whole spectrum.
Cool. That's great stuff. I mean, the site's cool, and there's like so many resources with Creative Pro that... you know, it's a good destination. You guys have new stuff and everything up there. So it's sort of like your, I guess, a one-stop deal for people that are doing creative work.
Yeah, we're always changing. Terry specifically is really on top of it, kind of connected. So she's always coming up with the new stuff and, you know, the latest, greatest thing. She knows about it firsthand. So that's really great to be a part of.
That's cool stuff. And I also like to announce, you know, with Printing for Less and Creative Pro is one of our new partners with Inside Mac. So we're going to be working close with these guys. You're going to see more information. A lot of the stuff you're going to find at Creative Pro. You'll see it on our website. We're going to have a lot of your contributors and people at Creative Pro coming on the show and just, you know, giving tips about Illustrator and Photoshop and how to get your stuff ready for print with the Printing for Less side. So we'll try to expand coverage there and get our listeners a little bit more, you know, a little more meat so they can, you know, do what they do for their work.
Yeah.
So it's really great working with you guys.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I had a good time meeting you and the rest of the crew last night at the party. It was great. A great bunch of people.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. You know, the whole Mac community is great stuff. So, hey, Nick, I really appreciate you coming on today.
Sure. Thanks, Scott.
That was Nick Run. You can check their stuff out at printingforless.com or, of course, creativepro.com. Right now, I want to grab a buddy of mine, Dave Hamilton, from the Mac Observer and the Mac Gab podcast.
The Mac Geek Gab podcast.
Mac Geek Gab podcast.
How you doing,
That's a tongue twister, man.
It is a tongue twister.
Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Crazy. This show's
crazy.
Nuts.
So what are you thinking about what Steve talked about today and, you know, what's going on here at Macworld?
I ordered my MacBook Pro.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't have two more years to wait for, you know, a laptop that's fast enough, so.
Right.
There you go. I'm a first-generation guy.
Did you get a chance to go to the booth and play with one?
I did,
Is it really fast? Is it good? You like it?
Yeah.
It smokes, huh?
It smokes. And
so
it's dual,
sort of like a G5, but it's a laptop.
Yeah, and it actually shows up as a dual processor in the, in the thing. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So, hey, I'll take it.
That's all good.
I guess. It's good on paper, you know.
Hey, tell us about what you do. You run the Mac Observer.
Run the Mac Observer.
And the iPod Observer.
And iPodObserver.com.
If people don't know, I don't know if they would not know, but tell us what's
it's
Mac
possible
Observer.
They don't know. I'm going to move my laptop here, though. So we run MacObserver.com, daily Mac news, tips, reviews, podcasts. We've got two of them. Ours, Mac Geek Gab, the one that I do with John Braun. And then iPod Observer, iPod news, reviews, tips, product announcements, and music. Music reviews and that's pretty much what we do.
So. Yeah, it's good stuff. You guys are out there just scouring for news and
that's
you have a bunch of writers that write original
content.
We have
people
content.
That are much better than me that go out and do all the writing and all that good stuff. So yeah,
let's talk about what you're doing here. You know, we got some podcast stuff we're doing. You're running like a whole little track.
Yeah,
here at Macworld.
That's right. Yeah, the podcast symposium on Friday, and I don't know what room it's in because they haven't told me yet, but. We got the whole day. We've got various people coming up, different, you know, sessions, 45-minute long sessions, talking about what works in podcasting in terms of some of the technical aspects, some of how to make money at it, you know, and different ways of monetizing it. For some people, it works to actually make cash. For some people, it's marketing. For some people, it's both. and we've got a whole great day lined up. We got Chris Perillo starting the day from LockerGnome.com.
Yeah, Chris Perillo, yeah. He rocks. We were hanging out with him at CES.
Were you really?
Last week, yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
And he's like the PC guy, but you know he's really, he's like the king of PC.
He's okay. Yeah. He can hang with us.
Well, he owns an iMac.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's cool.
He does. Yeah. He did because otherwise they wouldn't let him in the door here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he's not getting paid. But he had to pay in order to do the thing.
Right.
He had to buy the iMac.
There you go.
So, and then we got some podcast at the end of the day. Actually, you're on the panel.
We're on a panel.
We're doing the panel, and you and Sam Levin and
little Sammy Levin.
Little
sick
Sammy
today.
Levin somewhere. He's still sick, isn't he?
He's still. Yeah,
you know,
he
shook
sick.
My hand last night.
Yeah,
and I had to go back, and I had to take one of those airborne things so that I hopefully wouldn't get sick. You know?
Right.
And
this is the key to trade show health.
Is it airborne? Oh yes. Yeah, that's right. You put it on the mics, don't you?
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere, man. Yeah. And we got Brian Ibbett from Coverville.
Yeah.
And Michael Butler from the Rock and Roll Geek Show. And we're all doing
Michael
the panel
rocks.
Together.
That's, you got
Michael
a great
rocks.
Podcast.
Yeah.
He's part of Adam Curry's gig with the pod show.
He's a part of the pod show. They're just down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there on Second by the ballpark.
Right there on Second by the ballpark.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for stopping by today, man.
Thanks. Yeah, and you know, I got to give you these.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
For the party tomorrow night.
Right.
So that's why I came by.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And then you guys want to hang out and check out his deal later because these guys have a great
show. John's coming over, and then we'll do something, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Dave
thanks
Hamilton
for me.
From Mac Observer, iPod thanks. Observer, Backbeat Media, you name it. He's got his fingers in it somewhere. Right now, let's bring on our friends here from the Family Tech Show. And then we're done with that. We'll go back to the fabulous Inside Mac team for some more color commentary here from Macworld, San Francisco 2006. So introduce you guys to do the Family Tech Show. Tell
That's
everybody
correct.
Who you are and what do you guys do. What's your focus?
I'm Victoria Smart. This is my daughter, Jennifer, and we do a weekly three-hour radio program called the Family Tech Show with my husband, Maxwell. And we focus on sort of all things technology that apply to families, basically kid-friendly, family-friendly products. We interview people in the industries. We do reviews of products. And Jennifer actually does her own reviews of kid-friendly products, everything from software to websites to movies to music. Anything that kids can get their hands on technology-wise, she gets her hands in there and she plays with. And she actually interviews people herself, too. So... We talk all about tech and it's all about families listening together. It's a show that has content for everybody from the littlest kids to the grandparents. We have all kinds of products that would interest them. We have, we talk about seniors on the web. We talk about kids and safety on the web and things like that. And just things that come up in the news basically every week, you know, things that are of interest to families. And that's what we focus on.
So, Jennifer, how do you like Macworld?
It's good.
Yeah, did you see anything cool yet?
Yeah, lots of cool stuff.
Yeah?
So tell us what you like about trade shows.
Let's see. I like seeing all the products before they come out.
Yeah?
It makes her feel like an insider.
There you go. Hey, tell us about the interviews you've been doing with these. You went to the Chicken Little interview. You did the deal and the deal with Herbie. Tell us about the stuff you're doing. You're interviewing stars in Hollywood.
Yes, I interview people on the red carpets for movies. I've interviewed people like Michael Keaton and Linda Carter.
Recently, you talked to Dennis Quaid and Bonnie Hunt.
Yeah.
And a lot of the child actors and actresses in some of these movies, like Cheaper by the Dozen and Yours, Mine, and Ours. She's talked to a lot of the younger set, basically, the people whose names you don't necessarily know, but you will know in a few years, for sure.
So which deal did you like better, the Herbie one or the Chicken Little?
I'm not sure.
She did get to talk to Zach Braff at Chicken Little, and he was very, very nice.
Very,
he was really sweet. And Gary Marshall, too, who plays Chicken Little's dad in that.
Yeah.
She got to talk to him. So she's talked to some pretty heavy hitters in the movie industry,
That's
at least
cool.
as far as Disney is concerned, you know, since a lot of the movies she's seen have been Disney-related ones.
Well, the whole Disney deal is right with your guys' genre.
Exactly.
And now tell us, you're an actual real broadcast radio program like we are. What those stations can they hear Family Tech on?
We are currently on four stations around the country. We're on KBMP in Portland. We're on WLBK in DeKalb, Illinois, which is right outside of Chicago. We're on KUTR, which is a newer station in Salt Lake City, which is primarily aimed at women. It's a spinoff of KSL, which is the biggest talk radio station in Salt Lake City. And then we're also heard in Lake Isabella, California. That's our stronghold in California. That's near Bakersfield. But we do broadcast live on the internet from 8 to 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings at familytechshow.com. And we are available as a podcast through iTunes. So you can also get the downloads at our website, familytechshow.com.
Great stuff. So, hey, I appreciate you guys coming today. You definitely want to check out their program because it's really good. It's family-oriented. All the content is nice and clean, and you know, it's good for the family. It's great stuff. It's good listening.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
Oh, and thank you again.
And thank you for coming on our show on Saturday at CES.
Yeah. We both broadcast live from CES on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So you guys did your show, then we did ours.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond Crisis came on with our deal. And,
right.
Yeah, it was fun. So I appreciate that. That was good stuff.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Take care.
I have a really bad confession to make.
Yeah?
I slept through the keynote. I didn't get up. I stayed in my hotel room. I didn't see it.
That's okay, though. Because guess what?
I felt so bad.
Did you? Why?
I don't know. Because I didn't get to see Steve Jobs. Did he wear a black mock turtleneck again? Did he wear the uniform? He still didn't. 2006? I thought maybe he'd change it up a little bit and go for maybe like a navy mock turtleneck.
Yeah, maybe like a panel shirt.
Or like a black Henley.
That's
or
not,
a cashmere sweater
I have,
or something.
I've seen him in a suit because I've been watching him for like 15 years in keynotes. I've seen him in all different clothes. He's just recently started like just basically strict turtleneck. And
no, that's not what he was wearing
when he announced the video
iPod.
When they did the special thing in San Jose, he was wearing cargo pants,
which
totally blew me away.
Yep.
I guess maybe he has a different iPod in every pocket or
could
something.
Could be. That's, he's carrying a bunch of them. Yep. That's like, you know, he's got to have 16 of them.
Steve Jobs in cargo pants, man.
That's an excellent idea. If he ever comes out in a vest, it'll be, but what goes in this pocket? And what goes in this pocket? And what comes out? It'll be kind of fun.
Might well, you know there's going to be a killer product introduction if he's wearing cargo pants because he's going to pull one thing out of every pocket, you know. And here's another one.
Did anybody here see the Saturday Night Live sketch where they made fun of Steve Jobs?
The iPod.
So it was like a mock Apple press conference, and Steve Jobs was like, wait till you see this. It's the iPod Invisa. You can't see it, but it's 100 gigabytes. It was pretty funny.
Holds every photo ever taken. That was the whole thing.
And look at the clarity on that screen. So, yeah, I don't know. I had a little drama this morning. I have a Trio 650, which interfaces beautifully with the Macintosh. You can either use the standard Palm software or the Missing Sync.
You had a drama.
Yeah.
Oh,
big surprise.
Okay.
Big surprise. So apparently, the hotel where I'm staying, the shelves that go around the bathtub are very, very wide, so they can hold stuff, but they're tilted inward at an angle. But just ever so slightly, so that if you were to put something down on it and walk away, it would look like it's okay. So my Trio 650, I put next to the ledge in the bathtub, and I came back about 30 seconds later, and it was at the bottom of about 2 feet of water. So I had to go get this beautiful, tiny little Samsung thing, and I keep hitting the screen and wondering why nothing happens when I touch the plastic after using the Palm for so long, but...
I had drama this morning.
Yeah, what happened?
Rob Black went on the air today 15 minutes before Steve Jobs started and said he's going to introduce Intel computers. And I was so nervous. I was like, well, that's such a bad idea. Because what if he doesn't? But then he did. So it was okay. It was like a little momentary drama.
So I ran into a guy from Apple, and they were making jokes about the 15-pound iPod and with the, you know, 10-inch screen and all of that stuff. And because, I mean, it was just like the biggest joke on campus is from what they were saying. It was just really quite funny. So it was, yeah, I was like, you know, I saw that they were, you know, I said you could take one of these big iPods and make it a sit and spin.
Hey, Ken, what did Rob have to do? Did Rob make any comment about what he thinks what the Apple stock's going to do because of this announcement with the Intel?
No, that'll be tomorrow. I mean, the thing is, when we're doing the show from 10 to 10:30, so
right.
It hadn't it wasn't all filtered out yet. So tomorrow, I'm sure, will be there'll be a huge segment about that.
It's really interesting.
I'll tell you tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, well, we can do that. I've been tracking this, and I for like the past 6 years, the stock usually goes up the day of the keynote, but then it drops for some reason. I guess, you know, everybody wants, I don't know why they want to sell off after they announce all this cool new stuff, and then everybody sells and the stuff dumps for a couple of weeks.
I'll ask him tomorrow.
Yeah. So you can actually tell us about Rob Black. Rob used to be on CNET with us.
Right.
CNET Radio.
Right.
Now he's got a TV show and he's doing radio.
Yes.
So what's up with Rob?
You've just told us.
Okay. No, Cron 4, 10 to 10:30.
He doesn't use a Macintosh, so we can't talk about
Cron 4, 10 to 10:30, and then he's got a radio show on 1550 AM, 5 to 6 PM for you people in San Francisco. That's the podcasting station, by the way, but his isn't a podcast. But, yeah, he's started off on CNET. You guys were at CNET together, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With Desmond.
Yep.
And everybody else. Except for me. I was over at Tech TV.
You were at Tech TV.
We were at Tech TV together. It's funny because the history of tech reporting, I mean, back in the 90s, there was kind of like two camps. You had Tech TV and you had CNET.
Yes, and nary the twain should meet until they both sort of like...
Until they both lost a lot of money and laid everybody off and combined and merged.
And bought and half of one for the other and all that.
So, you know what I'm interested in seeing today is the auto show area here on the floor. Has anybody seen that yet? Apparently not. Maybe there's like one car.
He's nodding.
You have, okay. I need my eyes checked. I was up late. I was submerged in a bathtub for too long, like my trio. Did you like anything there? Was there anything cool?
Mercedes looked
pretty good. With iPod integration.
Okay.
They had the Mercedes here on the floor last year.
Yeah, they did.
And I know one thing that they've really been pushing for is the OEM integrations with iPod connectors. And this is a big passion of mine because I'm a car fanatic. I actually spent last week, while everybody else was at CES, I was at the LA Auto Show looking at the new Bugatti and Spikers and Fiskers and all kinds of cool stuff. But one thing that's really nice is to see the effort that Apple is making to work with the car companies to make your iPod integrated into your stereo system, because the main point for people to have their iPods is to be able to bring them with them wherever they go. And for most of us, especially Californians, we're a car culture. So if you can't easily plug in, I mean, and this brings me up to a tangential story. When I drove down to LA, we had a rental car. I have a Denzian connector. It's a third-party connector that goes into my BMW, works seamlessly, integrates with my built-in CD player. So you get basically CD quality audio from the MP3 player. I got one of these little FM transmitters to use in the rental car. It was horrible. I'm not even going to say who made it.
Well, who made it?
It was Belkin.
Yeah?
I'm not going to say. Who was it?
Well,
was
he asked me.
Well, no, I mean, really. Was this the problem in LA?
Well, there
LA?
Were a couple, there were a couple things. I mean, there's a big, there's
too many
a big,
radio
you know,
stations or what?
I think part of that on the way out was that, but there were a lot of frequencies unused between, you know, here in Bakersfield. And, I mean, I think that the manufacturers have to work within limitations. I mean, radio frequencies are not the best. I mean, they're not the most reliable. It's not the best sound quality. But my point being that, yes, there are quick and easy fixes to listen to your iPod in your car. But I personally think it's really important to see that integration happen. Especially on the OEM level. I mean, there are some 30. I happen to use a Denzian. It's a great product. It takes a little bit of work. I had to route a cable from. I have the BMW where the CD player is in the trunk. So you have to connect in the trunk. And then I had to like find a way to run my wires through the carpeting and underneath and into the center console. And, you know, it takes a little bit of work. But having something OEM where you can have the power to basically have one unit with all your music on it, take it everywhere you go, take it with you to the gym, then go back in your car and plug it in. I mean, this is one thing I have to compliment Apple on a lot, is working with the car manufacturers to make sure that it's a seamless experience everywhere you go, not just sitting on the subway with your headphones.
Only problem that might make that a little difficult, though, is both XM and Sirius are starting to give you things where you can carry stuff around, too, and where you can actually, you can tape part of a playlist as you go. I wonder if maybe, not to knock Apple, obviously, but I wonder if maybe they have a tiny bit of a leg up because a lot of people already have XM or Sirius in their car. So, I mean, if I can just add a buck to my service and buy a new unit, does that end up being better or worse for me?
I think it's two different schools of thought. I mean, I think the people who get satellite are the people who still like radio. They want to hear the new songs. They want to hear, you know, I mean, satellite is not like radio, but it is like radio in that you get what they play. It's
right.
Not your decision. It's not your playlist. And I think, you know, I think personally, it's like having cable and a DVD player at the same time. It's the same thing. If you want to watch what you want to watch, you put on your DVD. If you want to listen to what you want to listen to, you put on your iPod. You know what I'm saying? But you still get television.
No, I do know what you're saying. But for the seamless integration going from place to place to place, I mean, we do have that choice with the TV and the DVD player. We don't have that choice if I've got XM and plug in an iPod. Not yet. Anyway.
Well, it's interesting because one of the many rumors that came out about last year was that, you know, the future generations of the iPod would have satellite receivers built into them. And sure. I don't know if that will happen, but I mean, I'm sure...
I don't think so. It's an iPod.
Oh, I think so.
You think so?
I'm sure that some...
Somewhere down the road, yes.
Some portable music player manufacturer is talking to some satellite provider to see if they can make it work.
Sure.
Whether
it's
Apple or not.
They got the FM and the new remote, so yeah, it's like the feeding audio input back into the iPod is...
Griffin had that first, though. I mean, we gave away some of those at the Inside Mac party last night. The biggest complaint about Apple that I've heard from a lot of people is no built-in FM tuner. I mean, it's really not that hard. And the fact that they have it now, that's great, but it's a whole separate piece. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but why do you want FM? I mean, if you're... I guess for talk radio,
well,
you want AM.
Yeah, you can't argue people out of
what... Well, how come I can't have AM then, too?
Well, so you can't argue people out of what they want, though. I mean, it's not a question of why do they want it, it's they want it.
Well, the other thing going on with portability, I mean, for the gym crowd at least, you go to the gym and all the TVs are set to a different FM frequency. So, you know...
Good point.
I want to watch Oprah while I'm doing the elliptical. Well, I don't really, but, I mean, if I wanted to, I could.
Right.
Or Tyra.
Or while you're doing that.
If they showed Top Gear at the gym, that would be great, but... I mean, it's about flexibility. There's many other portable music players have the built-in radio, and I don't know. I think, you know what, if you can do it fully loaded. But I think Apple is very forward-looking, and they're thinking, well, you know what, with podcasting and satellite, you know, maybe radio is kind of going by the wayside.
In a lot of ways, yeah. Yeah.
For a large percentage of the tech savvy. Huh? I mean, I don't know.
No doubt. No, well, yeah. But I mean, no. But seriously, I mean, there are going to be very few things, I think. I mean, election results and the Super Bowl. These are going to be the things that everybody's going to watch at the same time. If the last episode of Seinfeld happens today, or the last episode of MASH happens today, a lot of people are watching it, and a lot of people are taping it and watching it later, and a lot of people are TiVoing it and watching it later, and a lot of people are buying it tomorrow for 99 cents or $1.99, wherever they can get it. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think traditional, not to sound like, I mean, there'll always be something there. There'll always be a need for the public service. There'll always be a, you know, there's a tornado coming, turn on your radio, because your iPod's not going to help you a whole lot at that point. But as far as entertainment and stuff, I mean, even the guys like XM and Sirius are now starting to give you things where you can take their programming and listen to it later. You can time shift it even though it's radio. And that's being built in. So,
well,
I mean,
you're ignoring the whole news industry, though. I mean, the thing is when you, I mean, most of it is AM.
And the rest of the country. It's so much
about
entertainment.
How many people have KCBS on in their cars when they're driving? I mean, anyone?
Not me.
There you go.
I love KCBS, actually, because they do give me...
But they're AM.
That's a different thing, because they give me what I want when I want it. They're always giving me news headlines. What I don't have on is KGO, because if I'm listening to KGO, I might have news headlines. I might have some interview that's something I don't want to hear. I have a lot more commercials. KCBS is sort of a different animal because it's exactly what you want when you want it, because they do one thing.
Right. And they do it very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we ran out of time.
Did we really?
Oh, no.
We talked too much.
But we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be here every day from 1:30 to 2:30. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then
we'll actually be here at 1:30 tomorrow, too. Won't that be fun?
We will.
Yeah, we'll all be here on time.
I had to stop and get a new phone.
It's cool stuff. So thanks for joining us. This is Inside Mac.
Thanks, guys.
You can check out more information about what we're up to at InsideMacRadio.com.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.